Then, by your argument, you would have had the White Council destroy the United States.
What?
Your government has drenched its hands in innocent blood as well, she replied, still calm. Unless you think the Indian tribesmen, whose lands were conquered, were somehow the villains of the peace. I frowned over that one. We've gone sort of far afield from my mother. Yes and no. What she proposed would inevitably have drawn the council into mortal conflicts, and therefore into mortal politics. Tell me the truth. If the council, today, declared war upon America for its past crimes and current idiocy, would you obey the order to attack?
Hell no, I said. The U.S. isn't a perfect place, but it's better than most people have managed to come up with. And all my stuff is there.
She smiled faintly. Exactly. And since the council is made up of members from all over the world, it would mean that no matter where we acted, we would almost certainly be faced with dissidence and desertion from those who felt their homelands wronged. She shrugged and grimaced in pain before arresting the motion. I myself would have issues if the council acted against any of the lands where my family is settled. They may not remember me, but the reverse is not true. I thought about what she said for a long moment. What you're saying is that the council would have to turn on some of its own. And how many times would that happen before there was no council? She asked. Wars and feuds can live for generations, even when there isn't a group of wizards involved. Settling the conflicts would have required even more involvement in mortal affairs.
You mean control, I said quietly. You mean the council seeking political power.
She gave me a knowing look. One of the things that makes me respect you more than most young people is your appreciation for history.
Precisely.
And for gaining control over others, for gathering great power to oneself, there is no better tool than black magic.
Which is what the laws of magic cover already.
She nodded. And so the council limits itself. Any wizard is free to act in whatever manner he chooses with his power, provided he doesn't break any of the laws. Without resorting to black magic, the amount of damage an individual can inflict on mortal society is limited. As harsh an experience as it has created for you, Harry, the laws of magic are not about justice. The White Council is not about justice. They are about restraining power. She smiled faintly. And occasionally the Council manages to do some good by protecting mankind from supernatural threats.
And that's good enough for you? I asked.
It isn't perfect, she admitted, but it's better than anything else we've come up with. And the things I've spent my lifetime building are there.
Touché, I said.
Thank you. I stroked her fingers with my thumb.
So you're saying my mother was short-sighted?
She was a complex woman, Anastasia said. Brilliant, erratic, passionate, committed, idealistic, talented, charming, insulting, bold, incautious, arrogant, and short-sighted, yes, among a great many other qualities. She loved pointing out the areas of gray magic, as she called them, and constantly questioning their legitimacy. She shrugged. The senior council tasked the wardens to keep an eye on her, which was damn near impossible.
Why?
The woman had a great many contacts among the Fae. That's why everyone called her Margaret Le Fay. She knew more ways through the Never Never than anyone I've ever seen, before or since. She could be in Beijing at breakfast, Rome at lunch, and Seattle for supper, and stop for coffee in Sydney and Cape Town in between. She sighed. Margaret vanished once, for 4 or 5 years. Everyone assumed that she'd finally run afoul of something in fairy. She never seemed able to restrain her tongue, even when she knew better.
I wonder what that's like.
Anastasia gave me a rather worn, sad smile. But she didn't spend all that time in fairy, did she?
I looked up at the rearview mirror back toward Chateau Wraith.
And Thomas is the son of the White King himself.
I didn't answer.
She exhaled heavily. You look so different from him. Except perhaps for something in the jaw, the shape of the eyes.
I didn't say anything until we got to the apartment. The rolls went together with the gravel lot like champagne and Cracker Jacks. I turned the engine off and listened to it click as it began to cool down. The sun was gone over the horizon by that time, and the lengthening shadows began to trigger streetlights. "Are you going to tell anyone?" I asked quietly. She looked out the window as she considered the question. Then she said, "Not unless I think it relevant." I turned to look at her. "You know what will happen if they know. They'll use him." She gazed straight out the front of the car. "I know." I spoke quietly to put all the weight I could into each word I spoke next. "Over my dead body." Anastasia closed her eyes for a moment and opened them again. Her expression never flickered. She took her hand slowly, reluctantly, from mine and put it in her lap. Then she whispered, "I pray to God it never comes to that." We sat in the car separately. It seemed larger and colder for some reason. The silence seemed deeper. Lucio lifted her chin and looked at me. "What will you do now?" "What do you think?" I clenched my fists so that my knuckles popped, rolled my neck once, and opened the door. "I'm going to find my brother."